strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 17th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Mari. How you doing, Mari?
I'm doing good, Taryn. Glad to be here. Glad that I can participate in one of the first live feeds, like in the first week or so of this crazy season, because, man, they don't let us rest. But last night was pretty calm in comparison to a lot of last week. So I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to talk with you about everything that's going on.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 18 in the house. And yeah, this really should be a quick one here for you. The feeds were down for most of the day for this whole slop thing, have not thing. And then they had a party, and so there was a lot of downtime here to talk about or not talk about.
Yeah. The skip the dishes slot passing was in the morning. We got a good chunk of some gameplay, and then it was like down for like 5 or 6 hours or something like that. And yeah, it was a lot of outages and stuff like that really takes you out of the feeds. It is one of the bad features of like the watching Canadian live feeds. It's just, it's constantly down. So it's really hard to like stay in that mode of, yes, I want to watch, when it's just like, I got to keep checking all of my devices to see when they come back.
Mm-hmm. So, should be a quicker one here, but let's get into it. Tara, I mentioned this yesterday actually on the update because it was happening early in the morning. Bettina, Tara, and Kiefer got together early on and talked about what they wanted to do moving forward in the game. Since Kiefer will be staying, he is going to continue to play up that he's like, I'm ready to go. But he does now see that he is expendable to the Sunsetters. And he is most loyal to Tina and Tara, he says. And he comes up with an alliance name for the three of them called the pre-90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Are they still workshopping that, or is that cemented now? Can we run a poll on that? I guess. Like you said, why does Kiefer keep coming up with these alliance names that just make his... everybody feel old in his alliances.
Yeah, he really it couldn't be like the young whippersnappers or something. Okay. Like you know, give us something to work with here.
The stick and hoopers, like what?
he's got these alliance names cooked up, and they're just a little outdated.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's hard to come up with alliance names and not relying on like some general fact. I guess.
At least it's not the diaper alliance, right? Like, at least we are clearing that bar.
Yeah, because the diaper alliance went completely opposite, right? They're like, we're so young, we're in diapers, look at us. And we had to hear that all season. So, yeah, I guess the bar is really low, isn't it, Jen? It's low.
Yeah. All right. One of the other main things that we got from the day is that Victoria is going to have another big conversation with Ty and Jed.
First of all, this is not a good talk. Unfortunately.
It's not a good talk, unfortunately. she has some info to drop on Beth. that she needs to she needs to go off on Beth. She needs to this has been brewing since she found out that Beth is actually in tight with the guys. And she's now going to drop a bomb on Beth, a Beth bomb.
Yeah, this. OK, so this conversation, I was watching the feeds and I was like, ooh, Bray and Austin are talking. Like, whenever Bray and Austin are talking, I've never got to actually like sit and watch them talk. And I was sitting and watching them talk for like 2 seconds. I was like, man, they are hilarious. They are funny. I see why Canada likes them. And then I looked on the screen. And I was like, oh, Victoria and Ty are talking. I was like, I know I have to listen to that conversation, but I kind of just want to stay here in Boston's bubble over here. But I flipped over and I was like, oh, wow, this is bad. Like, Vic completely throwing Beth under the bus to Ty first, and then Jed walks in later. Correct me if I'm wrong. Again, ads. Oh my God, I need an ad blocker or something, because the talk will be getting all juicy, and then that ad will come up. But yeah, this was just really interesting, and it hammers in your point that you've been making all week, that Victoria is just, she is just too all over the place to be considered like a really good game player, because the stuff she was telling Ty and Jed here, they really should be using it to tie her noose with, metaphorically speaking, but like it was just all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of, you know, Victoria's thing. And kind of Ty and Jed's thing is that they have such a hard time understanding. Like, part of what happens sometimes is that there are occasionally players that are so illogical and so all over the place that it almost turns the corner at the other end and becomes like, who would make this up? Right. Yes. Like, how, like, why would this even be a lie in the first place? And that's kind of where Jed and Ty have gotten to. But they also just tend to consider things far too much. I think there's such a thing as being too open minded in the game of Big Brother. And that's Ty in particular, where he really likes to consider every angle and every idea. But he likes to consider them all equally. When, like, some should only be minorly considered.
And that's what I was, like, tweeting all afternoon yesterday, because Ty and Jed sit here and listen to Vic say that, Beth, I'm going to give you information on Thursday. We got to wait till after Thursday. Oh, you're going to like it. Oh, she really, like, inferring that Beth wanted Jed to use the veto to put Ty up. Basically, that's what she's, like, inferring to them. And I was just, it was a very long conversation, because when Victoria is doing this proactive lying, she always just draws it out. She's very extra with her lies. She's very, like, repeats herself. She says, I'll tell you Thursday. Oh, but I'll tell you this a little bit now. Yeah. Oh, so Bray and Austin can confirm everything. They can confirm everything. And she's just talking like this, guys, too. Like, it's very, like, erratic sounding, like very hyper, very high energy, very fast talking. Would you agree with that, Taryn? Or
I would agree with that. She's very much like settle in.
Grab a tall glass of milk, Canada.
Grab a tall glass of milk. This is what happens, guys. This is what happens when there's nothing to do in the morning, and I wake up early, and I've already got all my notes ready to go, and I'm just sitting here. I'm just like, I guess I'll just start pulling some Victoria clips. It is very much as you described, and she has this sort of like frantic energy where she's just like, no, you don't understand. Beth is bad. She needs to go. I'm getting that Beth out.
She's dropping all sorts of B words, and she's saying, I wish I put her up. And I'm like, so this is her closest allies, and you are going in. And so
they're part of a thruple.
Yeah.
It's TB&J.
Yeah. It was just so crazy. And again, like you, like, kind of alluded to, and I'm pretty sure we'll go in depth with it, but the boys just, like, I just was waiting until they got out of the room to hear what they were going to say to each other. And it, like, to even consider any of what Victoria is saying is just ludicrous. It's ludicrous. She's really telling them that their closest ally came up to her, said, let's work together. Let's have a final two, which Beth already told them about. Let's have a final two. Let's make a big move. It's such a big move. It's a resume builder. And she's just saying, like, oh, yeah, Beth doesn't have your back. You can't trust her. To Jed and Ty's, I guess, good on them, they start to, like, oh yeah, really? Like, oh, I gotta get excited. And Jed is, like, really animated with it, with, like, oh my God. And they're like, oh, what if she played you, bro? What if she played you to Ty? And they're actually, like, it seems like at first they were trying to figure everything out, but then I think they started letting Victoria talk again to give enough rope. And then they started kind of, like, goading her on, or just, like, leaning into it. And I think she thought that she legit may have caused a rift between them. And when they first were talking, I thought so too. I was like, when they were talking alone, I was like, are y'all seriously considering this, you dumb dumbs? Like,
I'm already regretting not pulling the best to ever play the game clip from Victoria.
Yes, it was weird. It was so weird, Taryn. Please explain to me.
Now, part of this thing, too, is that, like, there is, like, one kernel of truth in what she's saying, which is that Beth was pushing for Toya to go up on the block.
Yes,
last week and previous weeks. But there may be something that could kind of ring true a little bit. But beyond that, it is absurd, the kind of things that she's claiming. As we said, that she tried to claim that she was the reason Jed didn't use the veto. She's trying to get Ty on the block. She wants Toya to go. You can't work with Beth. You can't. Don't do it. If I could have, I would have put Beth, I would go back and I'd put Beth up right now. I wish that she could leave. So Ty is like, is any of this worth considering? Like, she was acting weird. But as you said, they pretty quickly come around to, like, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense.
None of this
makes sense. It's not like she would put us up. Like, actions speak louder than words. Victoria must be lying. Is she okay? She's jealous that Beth is close to us, so now she wants to target Beth. And I'm like, yes, now apply that logic to Toya and you'll figure out that Toya is the target.
So Jed and Ty talking afterwards was just a whole bunch of edging. Like, they would get so close. They would just get so close to the real answer, into figuring it all out. And then they'd be like, no. Let's consider this some more. And they consider, they get close. Oh, no.
This is their problem. This is exactly what they did with the flip, too.
It was so funny. Just like, you can, at one point, it's like you could just see the gears just rolling in both their heads, steam coming out of their ears. I was really like, I'm a fan of Ty. I really like Ty. I really personally think that Ty has it all. I think he has the social game, and I think he does have the logical sense. But with Jed there, it's just an echo chamber that just bounces around all the bad ideas. Like, it really is to me. And I feel like if Ty is able to survive either Beth going or Jed going, or hopefully both of them going, I really think he would have the best chance to make it to the end to win. So it was just really bad. They were like, they were considering what Vic said, because, like you said, Vic said so many weird accusations. I think if she had just stuck with Beth wanted LaToya out so that she could kind of pin the flip on Beth, that the flip that she knows is coming, like, kind of on Beth, that would have worked more than trying to say, not only does Beth want LaToya out, but she also wanted you to use it on Toya, so then I could then put up Ty. Like, those two lies contradict themselves. Mm-hmm. So Victoria kind of shot herself in the foot with that. But then the boys didn't even pick up on it. They literally considered it for at least like a good 20 to 30 minutes before they finally, finally were like, oh, okay. No, no, no. She has to be lying. She has to be lying.
Yeah. You know, Ty has talked about this pretty openly that he's a loyal guy, but when it comes to relationships, he is not always, you know, the most committed, and that he, you know, kind of likes to explore options. And I feel like this is Ty's fatal flaw in the game as well. He just likes mm-hmm. to explore options too much.
Yeah.
He's just like, mm-hmm. well, ooh, but what about this? What if she's telling the truth? Let's explore this option. Like, mm-hmm. no, not what if she's telling, listen to what she's saying first.
Yes.
And so I really feel like this is, and it's the same thing with this idea that like, oh, well, let's potentially target the floaters. Like, let's consider that mm-hmm. option. And like just this morning, Toya's like, Ty, that's dumb. Like, if it doesn't matter if they're not coming for you, it doesn't matter. You need to go after the people that are coming for you. And he's like, yeah, but what if? And it's like, Ty, stop.
Yeah, I have so many questions like for you because I want you to answer them. And again, we don't have too much to talk about, so I'm just going to insert my questions throughout here. So they moved. Correct me if I'm wrong. They moved the POV ceremony up a whole day.
Yep.
Why?
The theory in the house, and this is not one that I'm buying actually, but it could be partially true. The theory in the house is that it was moved up a day because they intended to do what they cut the feeds today for, which is the have not, you know, competition-y thing with the vote, and they want a pizza party and all that. So they think in the house that they intended to do that on Monday. But then they were doing their fashion show and they were like, oh no, this is golden. Let's let them do their fashion show and we'll change our schedule to the next day. No guys, no. Production doesn't change for you. They don't care about your mm-hmm. fashion show.
Right.
But it might be that that they moved up the ceremony so that they'd have a little bit more buffer space between the ceremony and this like sponsored content that they were filming on Tuesday. So it wasn't back to back Monday, Tuesday in terms mm-hmm. of like things that production had to do for their job.
I just personally do not like that. I really don't. Like, the longest that I've watched Big Brother, they've always had the set days where the veto is on this day. So it's a whole day that somebody does not get to campaign. It's a whole day that people don't get to consider their options. And it's a whole day that the HOH basically just, you know, sticks to what they're going with. I do 100% believe LaToya was always going to be Victoria's target. Like, nothing LaToya could have done could have gotten herself out of Toya's. Nothing Toya could have done could have gotten her off of Vic's target, because I feel like what we learned was she targeted Toya because Toya took out Julie, and Julie was Vic's duo. That's what we're being told, at least on social media, in a sense. So it was just a case of the absolutely wrong person on the other side of the house won, and that's why I feel LaToya is on the block. So when Vic is saying this stuff like, I wish I had put Beth up, I know it's halfway, it's gaslighting, because that's her favorite move when it comes to the boys. But I also do think she did genuinely finally realize, oh God, Beth is the one that is really like holding the guys together now too.
Really?
Like,
when she starts going, you want me to put Beth up? Is that what you want? Like, mm-hmm. with some more time and consideration, I think that she would have threatened to put Beth up instead of Ty. And I don't know. There's a chance that Jed might have taken that option. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for Jed, putting Beth up is such a better option for him. If it was between Ty and Beth, then Definitely Beth, because he's not as close to Beth. Beth is for Ty. Like they've already established that. LaToya and Jed are the ones that are the closest in that four. You know what I'm saying? So it sucks. I just wanted another day. So a lot of people were speculating, like there was just so much scrambling and so much to edit that Big Brother was like, no, we can't fit this all into a cohesive narrative. Move the POV ceremony up so at least we can get to a next phase of the game for editing or something like that. I don't know. I just didn't like it. I personally just didn't like it.
Yeah. So we do get some Ty, Jed, and Toya talk. They do talk about the Beth situation as well. They've kind of come to the conclusion that obviously Victoria must be lying and she must be jealous. But also, they also need to talk to Beth about some stuff at some point.
Yeah.
Because some of it makes a little bit of sense. And so they're going to have that talk at some point. But Ty, Jed, and Toya are going to talk a bit about some of the other players and some of their thoughts about the other players. Toya does not like Vic. She really hates... She on the outside, mm-hmm. I would never be friends with her.
Yeah.
I would never interact with her. Mm-hmm. She is done with Victoria.
Yes, I wrote down like... LaToya said, I'm gonna keep it real. We would not be friends outside of this house. I don't respond to people with her type of energy. However, she said, I would have followed out through with that deal of not coming after mm-hmm. her. She said, but she wanted an alliance and that's not what we were trying to do at the time. LaToya and Tyra talked about how when Vic had approached them with the alliance, they said, okay, you know, we'll think about it. And then they went to Jed and then they told Jed, you know, Vic has approached us with an alliance. And Jed was kind of like, well, let's just leave it alone. That was what they came up with. I'm like, why are y'all following Jed's lead? So they just left it alone. And now they're in this situation. And I just have to agree with LaToya. Like, I love watching Vic just be like a messy, burn it down. I don't care type of player, but I know for a fact that if I was in a house with her, I wouldn't be able to respond well with her, because I am the exact same.
Yeah. I said this last night. I think it was the right call for them to turn Vic down, like accepting Vic into the alliance, giving her information, like,
yes,
would have been a disaster. And she would have had even more ammo to be throwing against the wall right now. Mm-hmm. Toya is very, very much like a Ned Stark, here. Like,
yes.
She really is like, no, honor, integrity, no lying. And I know that when I talk to her on Friday, I'm going to be like, Toya, why didn't you just lie? Why didn't you just tell Kyle and Roe that you'd work with them? And she'll be like, mm-hmm. that's just not who I am. And I don't want to lie in this game. And I'll be like, but Toya. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On top of the lying, I also feel like, not only is she, you know, there's a lot of memes going around. She's a cop. Yes, she's a cop. Excuse me. But on top of that, before she was a cop, she was a corrections officer. So she was a CO in what I would assume a prison. So the type of qualities that you need to do these jobs, you need to not show any weakness. Mm-hmm. You need to make logical decisions, quick, logical decisions. And then on top of that, being a Black woman, you know, on top of just like the loyalty and then the you know, not being able to show emotion as freely as others. I really think it just informed her gameplay. And I said it myself. I wanted LaToya. There were so many moments where I wanted LaToya to turn the cop down and turn the empathy up. Yeah. And if she had just done that, then she would be in a different position. And I fault her for that as her gameplay, but I see where she's coming from to break out of those types of positions you have to place on yourself for different types of survival, either at your job or, you know, in your daily life.
For sure.
So not an excuse. It's just how different backgrounds come to play this game. You know what I'm saying? That's the beauty of a diverse cast. Because even Victoria, being from a foster background, how she is playing the game is because of that informed background. So I'm just loving seeing the different backgrounds and how people are approaching this game. I hate that it destroyed her game, but I like seeing it because she feels like she's being authentically herself.
Oh yeah, and it's a very good point. And that's something that that Toya is talked about recently as well, where like you know, later in the day, there's when the feeds come back, Jed, Ty, and Beth are kind of explaining the whole TB&J situation to Toya, who had not unknown what was going on with all the kissing and the thruffling. She was like, what? Like, I didn't know this. They were like, I thought you were there. Like, nope. This is a little weird to me. And they kind of get into with her, like, would you ever be down for anything like that? And she's very much like, no, I would never want to display any intimacy, like on TV like that. Like, I'm not here to show that side of myself. Like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that it coincides a lot with what you were saying. She doesn't feel like she can display weakness in front of other people, and that feels like letting her guard down, right?
Yeah, and then I also wonder, like, her and Tina. I really do feel like she let her guard down with Tina, and the moment that she felt that Tina abandoned her, she shut it all down. Yeah. And I think that's why we're getting a very complacent LaToya this week when we had a flipper, you know, for the past 2 weeks. I really think like Tina not being there to help her or comfort her really is affecting her in a way, because I know she has love for the boys. I know that she has their backs and stuff, but I really do think that Tina was a person that she really, really connected with. And I think she saw Tina pulling away and probably even inflated it in her mind a little bit. Like, Tina and Tara have literally been stuck at the hip since last week together. And the inflation in her mind when she was like, well, that was us. That was us last week. And she just probably just does not. This is no excuses. Like, Toya herself needs to be putting in that work and doing it with Tina. She has focused her work on Bray and Austin, which is a losing battle. But I just do feel bad for her, and I feel bad for Tina. Like, Tina, why aren't you fostering these relationships? Like, I don't understand how you guys were so close. They had the power to run the game, even with LaToya on the block, but Tina just dropped the ball and went into this passive style and just let Tara take the lead on decision-making for her. It's just sad. I can honestly put myself in Toya's position and just feel like, wow, I thought I had a friend and now they're not here. So, you know, she shut down. I'd be like, girl, what's up? But, you know, some people don't respond like that.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be an excuse. But this is why I love Big Brother. Like, I love examining, you know, what should people be doing? What aren't people doing, and why? And like, where does this come from? And how do people's backgrounds and personalities and different sort of approaches to the game influence how they approach a game where there is, you know, theoretically an optimal way to go about things. It's very interesting. Yeah. And I'm glad that we could get into something interesting from yesterday.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just derailing the whole
thing. No, we've actually turned this into something good, I feel.
Yeah.
All right. Jed, Ty, and Toya are still talking about how they feel about the other players. They talk about Austin. They have a lot of trouble communicating with Austin. She's very spacey. They kind of don't really know what she's talking about half the time. And I think this is one of the biggest problems that the guys Ty and Jed had with their, you know, so-called alliance with Austin, is that anytime they talked to her as an alliance, it was just like pulling teeth. Like, they couldn't get anything from her, because I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but like, Austin, when she's with Brayden, she's great. She talks funny, great. When she's with people that she's not as comfortable with or she doesn't like as much, shuts it down. And there's not a lot of communication going on. They feel like they can talk to Brayden. They feel like Brayden definitely, you know, is more social. They feel like at least they can talk to Brayden, but Austin, they just can't.
Yeah, and the funny thing, I saw somebody on Twitter, I'm sorry, said that Brayden and Austin talk mean to each other, and I think that is so hilarious, because again, I only got to watch them for a few minutes before there was like actual game talk on another feed, and I think it's true, like the shorthand that they have together in such a short time is really like amazing to see. I really like seeing their friendship on the feeds. Hate that they're playing so passively at this point. But the funny thing is that passive gameplay has landed them into a great position. But yeah, it's true that like they have a connection that they just can't connect with other people. And I wonder if it's the whole young TikTok generation type thing. Look at me showing my millennial self. But like just they know. They finish each other's sentences. They legit finish each other's sentences, which is so funny to see. But they just can't connect with some of these other people. And that will hurt them down the line. I think you've been pointing it out perfectly all week. It's a position that they will land themselves in, but can they maintain it? I don't know.
Yeah. They talk about being frustrated with Tina and Tara. Because like it's annoying mm-hmm. how good of a position that they're in, mm-hmm. And they almost want to do something about it, but again, Toya kind of pushes back, like correctly so. Like Toya, you know, Ty and Jed. If the way I look at it, Ty and Jed have the social game. They are great. They're both great socially. Ty is even better socially than Jed, but Jed mm-hmm. is also very good socially. Strategically, I feel that they're both flat on the ground. and they really need Toya to tell yes. them what to do. And I am worried for them in a Toya-less world.
Yes, I was definitely going to point this out. Like, Victoria... like it's so hard. It's like, do you reward the results? You like it's like math. You have to award Victoria for the results, but the math that she got to it was just so just complicated. Like she clearly is, she's basically said it from all of her actions thus far. She put Toya on the block because Toya not only took out her biggest ally in Julie and left her out of that vote, was the face of the vote flip, even though she didn't cause it or come up with that idea. And she is the closest with the boys. Vic clearly wants to be the closest with the boys. The boys are like, oh, Vic is jealous. And it boils down to that word. It sucks that all of that boils down to that word, but that's what it is. Mm-hmm. She's jealous of Toya's positioning with the boys. So she shot at LaToya, and this LaToya is technically the glue to the other half of the Sunsetters. Like Ty, Jed, and Beth are close. Toya was in there to keep them attached to Tina and Keith. Once Toya is gone, Tina and Kiefer have no reason to stick with TBJ if they don't get power. So Victoria shot a very strategic shot that can very well end the Sunsetters if the Sunsetters do not get power next week. So I have to commend her for that result, even though she doesn't even realize she's doing it.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a shot in the dark that's happened to land in the right place. Mm-hmm. I can tell that this season might be one of those seasons where like, you know, everyone's stumbling around and then somebody is going to happen to succeed. And there are going to be a lot of people that are like, oh, look, they succeeded. And it's going to be like, yeah, but.
Right.
But how did they succeed?
Everybody's stumbling around in the dark with guns and arrows, yeah. Just shooting all willy-nilly. Okay.
We'll see. We'll see where things go. We get some more Tina, Tara, and Kiefer talk later in the night. They talk about their plan for when the vote goes down. Tina says that the Sunsetters are going to be pissed at her, and they're mm-hmm. going to maybe want to go after her and Tara after they vote Toya out. But Keith says, and so Keith will need to use his influence with them to keep them safe, Toya and Tina. So it's Keefe's job as part of the pre-90s to talk with TB and Jay and convince them to not do this dumb plan of going after the floaters, Tina and Tara. And he says, absolutely, I will be giving it everything I have. There's no way I'm letting them target you guys. I would leave their side. I would say I'm out of this alliance before I allowed them to do that. The big dogs should be targeting each other. And Tina's like, yeah, I want an average person to win. And Kiefer was like, yeah, like season six. Paris.
What?
Yeah, I was like, excuse me? Paris?
Average.
That's your go-to average winner? Paris?
I'm confused. Average? Average. What is this word average?
Yeah, what are we qualifying here for average exactly?
Well, so Tina went from a position of being protected in a layer of big muscly men being in the background, people not even knowing they're working together, to now relying on Kiefer to keep her safe from her former allies. Like, that is so sad. Tina has such like power in this game that, like you said, she just refuses to wield. And it is so annoying to me because this whole week could have been different if she had just flexed her muscles, just even the tiniest bit. And the fact that she has just sit back and just let Jesus take the wheel or Tara take the wheel, even worse, like, it's just very upsetting to me because she's a great game player that is just wants to float by coast by should be the correct term, because she is really just taking her foot off the gas. And she could have kept Kiefer and LaToya here. Tina could have kept both Toya and Kiefer here.
She should have pushed her back.
If she had just applied a modicum of pressure onto Victoria, who clearly trusts her. And I'm just very upset that this is now the spot that she has landed herself in. And Ty and Jed, they said it out their mouths. Should we aim for Tara and Tina? Should we put Tara on the block? Like, and Vic. And it's just like, Tina, come on, girl. Like, what are you doing here? And then she's planning to throw the HOH, which I agree with, but I'm also like, this is very tenuous for you. You really need to do something. Like, next week, you need to make sure that you are planting those roots into the ground, if that's where you want to be, because she clearly is not comfortable playing the middle, unfortunately, because she could be adept at doing it. But I'm really sad that Tina has succeeded so much power in this game.
Yeah, Tina's a great example of what I meant, like, just stumbling around at this point. Like, and Tina is clearly she has a capacity for the game that maybe some of the other players don't. But she doesn't really use it all the time, and instead she just kind of stumbles around. So we'll see again where that goes. Kiefer says he'll continue to play up his whole mopey I'm going home thing.
Yes.
I feel the need to point this out because I think there are still a lot of, like, people heard Kiefer say I'm willing to go home, and like ever since then they're like, all right, Carol, and they've just been writing him off. But like, he is fighting to stay. Mm-hmm. He does want to stay. He is intentionally playing this up. I do believe that he had a moment, as I talked about on Monday's recap, where he was like, I screwed this up for the team. This is how I can make up for the team. I'm willing to go on the block. Like I'm willing to risk my life in the game. And I genuinely think that he also genuinely felt like, you know, if I am to go out, I would like to go back to my family instead of stay in the jury. I'd rather it be pre-jury than not. But he is not actively trying to quit the game. He does not want to leave the game. He is trying to stay in the game. And he is now intentionally playing up the fact that he was willing to go home so that he can maintain this persona that he has in the house.
Yeah, I really did want to come on here and give him a shout out, because in an earlier conversation with Keith, Ty, and LaToya, Ty and LaToya were kind of realizing that Toya was the target. Toya was Vic's target. They're all in the conversation. They're all sitting on the couch, and they're talking about how Vic had six or seven reasons for why Toya needed to be on the block, but was just like, "Oh, Keith said my name." And they were like, Ty and Toya were kind of laughing about it, but Keith was sitting right there. And then that's why. And then Ty started being like, "That's why it just doesn't make sense." And then Keith was like, "Oh, but I really on Thursday, I don't know what's going to happen. And if it's me, it's just, you know." It was such a good evasive move. He saw that they were realizing, like, hey, maybe Toya is the target. Maybe we should do something. And he was just like, oh, guys, it's just, you know, it sucks. He is really playing it up at this point. At this point, he is strategically playing it up to his own allies that he is going home. This is another reason why Toya is also being complacent. This is why Jed and Ty are being complacent, because they still really think that Keith is Vic's target, even though all of the signs are pointing to Toya being her target. They keep bringing up all of the signs that Toya is her target, but they just won't believe it. It is so JP and Zach. It is just all over again. And they are just like, No, she says Keith is her target. So that's what we're going to go with. And Kiefer, I give it to Kiefer. Kiefer is doing Josh Martinez 101, just better acting.
Yeah. So finally, the plan is, the play that they're going to try to make is just blame it all on Kyle. Just Kyle is the one that made the flip happen, right? Like when Toya goes, it's because Kyle got the votes. And Tina's kind of talked about this with Kyle and Roe as well, where like, one of the options, we're not sure if she'll actually go with this one, but one of the options is, hey, they had the numbers. I couldn't convince Tara, essentially. I had to vote with them for my game. The fact that the other side doesn't know that Toya's leaving yet is actually a very good thing for Tina and Tara, because Kyle and Ro, Austin, Brayden, and Vic are all lying to Ty and Jed for no reason this week. Like, there's no reason for Toya to be a blindside. There's no reason for that to happen. And so when they are eventually told, they will realize that they've been lied to all week. And, you know, that should be further discouragement for this whole idea that they would maybe call a truce with those people, right? And so that's what Tina, Tara, and Kiefer plan on using to help make sure that Ty, Jed, and Beth actually go after Kyle, Roe, and Vic.
And Ty, Jed, and Beth had already said that if Toya goes out, they're going to be pissed. Yeah. They originally did say that they would target Tina and Tara, but Beth says, like, are we going to be blindsided? No, we're not going to be blindsided. No. She's like, in the same sentence, she's like, maybe, is it the whole house versus us three? No, it's not like that. It was, again, those conversations with the three of them, it's always like, y'all are right there. You are right there.
Like, yeah. So that's basically the day. Mari, was there anything else that you had to bring up?
The only other thing is I hope that a sunsetter wins next week, just so that we can get more scrambling. Like, if it's just like with BB22 or any of the last BBs, the last 3 years, if the same side just keeps getting power, then it's clearly going to consolidate them, and then it's going to be a steamroll. So at this point, I don't want it to be a steamroll. I want it to be as messy as possible. If Toya's going out,
way more interesting.
Yes. If Toya's going out, please be the messiest mess ever. Sure. So if the sunsetters win, I hope that I kind of hope Jed wins, just so Jed gets a little bit of HOH itis and puts the target squarely on his back to protect, so Ty doesn't get out first. But I would love to see a Jed HOH, because I feel like that would be like crazy. But I also hope that they have realized that there are three pairs on the other side of the house. That was also a part of that conversation. They were like, there are three pairs on the other side of the house. And then Ty was like, when Ty was trying to figure out all the Victoria stuff, he was like, why would she do this to come after us if there's just three pairs on the other side of the house? It doesn't make sense. Why would she do this unless they have the numbers? And that's when Beth was like, is it all everybody against us? And they're like, no, they don't have the numbers. It's three duos. It's just three duos and Victoria over there. They don't have the numbers. And so they have correctly identified that. So once this blindside happens, and if one of them wins HOH, I really hope that they go the route of, instead of putting up Kyle and Roe, instead of putting up Tina and Tara, and instead of putting up Bray and Austin, that they put up one from each so that they further cause divide on that side of the house. I feel like a lot of Big Brother players do not do this enough anymore. Like, pit those alliances against each other. Throw up an Austin and a Kyle. Throw up a Kyle and a Tara. Just mix it up so that they have to do a little bit of infighting amongst themselves. But I don't know if they've talked about those options yet.
Well, also, I think importantly, honestly, even more important than having two different people up who will cause different campaigning to happen, is when you're HOH, prior to the nomination happening, talk to people that night.
Yes.
Talk to people that day. Have them come in individually or in pairs, whatever you want, but like, have people come in and talk to you and be like, why should your pair be the one that stays off the block? Get them to throw each other under the bus, make them feel, because you don't even have to necessarily put one up from each pair, right? If what you do is you have them all come in and talk to you, and then you go, all right, sorry, but we're nominating Austin and Brayden. They'll be like, why? Why aren't you nominating Kyle and Roe? I mean, we just heard some things. You know what I mean? And they'll be like, what did Kyle, why, like, we thought we were going to be shielded by Kyle and Roe. All of a sudden, we're not. This is not a good place for us. They clearly threw us under the bus. What are they doing to protect us right now? Because Kyle and Roe are probably going to be like, high five, bro, we made it. And Austin and Brayden will be pissed. And they'll be like, what is happening? That's how you break up an alliance. You go for a move like that. And I actually genuinely think that's a good move, because what if Kyle and Roe won yet? Nothing. Austin's won something. Putting Austin and Brayden up would actually be taking a shot at one of their better competitors. Vic is obviously an option just based on how much she has been messing with them. And personally, that's frustrating. At this point, Vic is just like, you don't really need to deal with Vic right now. And Vic would probably be an easy person for the other four or six to sort of rally around and be like,
right,
sorry, Vic. I mean, just use the power to cause divides in the other side, whether it's by putting one up from each side or by not, but by talking to people, whatever you want to do. And that's why I agree with you. I think that a Sunsetter winning would be ideal, because you have twofold. You have, will the other side start scurrying around, and will they actually put two people up from the other side, or will they go after the floaters, Tina and Tara? How will Tina and Tara manage having to flip flop back around to the other side? There's so many different things that will happen if the Sunsetters win, that if the Oddballs win, probably won't. It'll probably just be Ty Jed, Ty Beth, whatever it is. And Tina and Tara will just stay on that other side, and it'll be a much more straightforward week. So definitely with you, rooting for a Sunsetter win for the HOH. And that's what we got.
Yeah. I think that's about it.
All right. Well,
very fun.
Yes, I will be live tonight to recap the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother Canada 9. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 feeds. And tomorrow night, the eviction recap will happen. We'll have some fun with that. I'll also be streaming tomorrow before the eviction I've got. The Stockwatch stream, we can talk about what happened this week with everyone's shares and where we should probably go in the future. I also stream on Twitch during the episodes. We do watch parties. So if you want to like hang out and watch together, have, you know, reactions with kind of a crowd, then you can join me there. Twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Mari, where can people find you?
You can always find me every week on the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast with Matt Scott. We like to dive in to the wonderful, weird, wild world of wrestling. Come check us out. You don't have to watch at all. We break it all down for you in a fun way. Also, you can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. So it's two, like the number two. And you can also follow us at Wrestling Wrap Up on Twitter as well. So please follow us. Send us your questions, your comments, whatever. We'll read them on the episode.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today, and see you next time.
Bye-bye.